Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Hello, one. Hello, all. Welcome to another episode of this fine podcast in which we have discussions with people who are involved in independent music, whether it's playing in bands, whether it's putting records out, whether it's documenting it in some way, shape, or form, or have been profoundly influenced by this awesome metal, hardcore, punk, indie rock, emo scene, as long as it's from the DIY variety, as it were. I mean, DIY, it means a lot to a lot of people, but you know what I'm talking about. Today is a really, really cool chat that I had face-to-face with this person. His name is Joel Birch. He is the vocalist for the Amity Affliction, who has been banned for like 20 years, which, or I think so, maybe 15. I mean, they'll obviously correct me. But I was able to have this live and in person at the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival. So you can easily Google that or follow on the socials, because they had an amazing event this year. And I can guarantee you that it's going to be an awesome time next year. I mean, I think the Saturday that not the Amity Affliction played, because they played the night before, but the Saturday, there was like 6,000 people. And for the night that Amity played, I mean, there was like, I don't know, 4,000 people. It was amazing. It was so cool to see live music so back in a big way. And anyways, I just was very thankful to that team for bringing me out there and gave me the ability to have these podcasts in person because, you know, I mean, as cool as it is to be able to schedule stuff over the computer, there's always a little special sauce that gets sprinkled over these conversations when I'm able to have them face to face. And Joel was an interesting one because Amity Affliction has been a band that I've been aware of for a while. I would not say that I'm like a hardcore fan or really had like pay attention to most of their output, besides the fact that I know that they're an incredibly important band. They've existed for a very long time. I know Joel has been an outspoken individual. We actually talk about this at the very, very top of the episode where, he's not afraid to shoot his shot, shoot his opinion out there. And, you know, there's times it's got him in trouble, so to speak, as far as, you know, the social media trolls that like to drag people through the mud. But he is an incredibly thoughtful, and I like within our, you know, 30-40 minute discussion, I was just like, dude, I really like you. Like, I want to be your friend. And it was really cool. So that's what we got. You can always email the show, 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. I appreciate all feedback, positive, negative, everything in between. Or if you just want to say hi and be like, yo, check out this band. Always appreciate that. You can also leave a rating and review on the Apple Podcast page. I know every podcast asks you that, but that is why it's important. And so take that 5 seconds and do it. It takes you, like I said, no time whatsoever. Maybe I'm going to round it up, maybe 10 seconds, but it helps out tremendously. The Spotify artist page or podcast page, you can do the same thing. You don't need to leave a review. Just hop on there. Leave some stars. There we go. You go on about your day. And I'm looking forward to the fall because we have really, really good podcasts. I'm just going to go ahead and say that because I've had these discussions, got them banked up and ready to roll. And it's fun because I've been able to dig even deeper with people in regards to like, maybe it's not a band that is a household name, or maybe it's a band that, you know, only got spoken about in the 90s or whatever. I just, got a lot of fun conversations coming. So, and of course, I'm already starting to think about the best of 2023 podcast that I do with Joey and Jeremy, like many of you enjoy. So anyways, let's talk to Mr. Joel Birch from the Amity Affliction.
You come with baggage.
We don't. We, as a band, we don't. But you, that's just because I'm politically left-wing.
Right. You were what they would call an outspoken individual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the only times we've had problems is like me calling people out for doing dumb shit, though.
Especially, too, within the context of our scene, and I use that maybe in air quotes, like, because they're obviously, because the scene has gotten much larger than any of us have ever anticipated, and you get, you know, sometimes people that are like tourists that are not exactly connected to what it is.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, yeah. And so, yeah, sometimes you have to be like, hey, that behavior,
yeah,
not that cool.
And we're a bit strange in that we're a metalcore band.
Yep.
With like popular singing stuff, but everyone in the band is from hardcore.
Of course.
And so we are a bit, like, out of place in our own genre.
Totally. You're like, we make this music because we enjoy this, but, like, we're hard. But, I mean, most people, I think, that are of a certain age, like, do intrinsically come from that.
Yeah.
But they just have played different styles.
Yeah, well, when we started, I guess the scene writ large was much more inclusive of everyone.
Right.
Like, you would go see Madball and then Sunny Day Real Estate.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It's
and
no
everyone
problem.
Would be like, yeah, that's right. It's all hardcore. And then, not anymore.
Well, I think, not to push against what you're saying, but like now I think it's, you know, people, generically speaking, it's more so like younger human beings, people are genre agnostic, where it's like they like a little bit of everything, but they
don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I would say, because they like a little bit of everything, they don't really, they're a blend of all of it, and they don't really, like, for lack of a better term, commit. and maybe that's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I think our generation is also like meaner.
Sure. More judgmental.
Like crueler and yeah. I don't know. Like I do Muay Thai and a couple of the coaches are like lamenting the good old days of hard men and getting grilled, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I got a 22-year-old stepson. All his friends are mellow. They're all happy. They all get along. I'm like, I don't know.
It's pretty chill.
It seems pretty good. I'm like, I got a lot of baggage from that shit, you know?
Right, yeah. The men being men idea, like, that some people might define as toxic.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm here, like, kicking and punching.
Right.
But I'm not that.
Like, right, because you can contain, like, both elements. You're like, I am a sensitive human being, and I have empathy, but I also like wrestling around and getting sweaty.
Yeah, but I grew up kind of mean, so
right.
Like, our generation is like, we just fucking burning each other all the time.
Right.
Constantly.
you mentioning the, like, you being mean, that sort of dovetails into a question where like, when did you recognize that in yourself? Where it's like having that, you know, whether it's like the defensive mechanism of being like, oh, I'm mean because I need to protect myself from these other elements that I am experiencing in my life. Like, when did you, I guess, recognize the fact that you were like, oh, maybe I'm a little harder than I need to be?
It was always drinking that did it.
Okay.
And I haven't had a drink in like 7.5 years, so
sure.
I bite my tongue a lot more now. But I don't know, probably a long, long time ago, but I don't know, everyone has their insecurities, I guess. I had a a childhood I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember high school or anything.
Just a blur.
It was just not good. Right. I was just like, it was abusive.
Right.
At home and everything. And I think maybe from there, I don't really know. It's just, I probably like a little bit of bipolar, a little bit of upbringing, a little bit of the era I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
insecurity, just like a melting pot of problems.
Of course.
creating that kind of attitude, I guess.
Well, a defense mechanism, because like if you, to your point, if you're experiencing these awful things at home, you're like, that's the behavior that I am modeling, so whether you're abusive verbally or whatever, you're just like, I'm just mean because I gotta harden myself or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there is that, and then there's just like, I have a pretty low tolerance for things that I think are not good.
Sure.
Know? Like, if you're gonna be slut shaming or sexist or a bigot or racist, I don't feel like I have to contain what I'm saying for decorum.
No.
Like, I don't feel like like that is a thing that I need to do.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, you fucking being too confrontational with these people. And I'm like, well, I don't care because they're not people that I want to be associated with.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, I am actively making sure that I do not surround myself with people like this.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't help the people I'm surrounded by a lot of the time.
Yep.
And I can't help the people that like our music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely growing like more sympathetic to their situation and what may have landed them where they are and how they think. But, I mean, most of the time, if I don't bring anything up, if someone brings something up to fuck with me, then they kind of get what they deserve.
Right.
I mean, they're asking
for it, so to speak.
Yeah, they are. Like, if you want to, I don't talk about politics with anyone because no one fucking cares.
Yeah.
But if someone wants to bring it up with me and they don't know what they're talking about, then that's not my problem.
Right. Yeah. You know? I'm just going to correct you and tell you why you're wrong, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I know enough to know why things are how they are,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people don't.
Sure.
And they only know the cable news version. Of course. Version.
The bubble that people exist in.
Yeah. And, you know, as a left-wing sort of political thinker, I get a little bit bothered by people calling like the Democrats left-wing, for instance.
Right. You're like, they're not even remotely close.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like, no. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I've been mean. So, I mean, some things I've been mean about are just funny to me.
Sure.
And
well, the awareness of that, you're able to deploy it strategically now, whereas like previously you probably, there was no strategy, that was just simply just existence.
There was no strategy.
Right,
no,
right.
No, I didn't mean, I'm saying like 95% of what I've ever said I either don't remember or didn't mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm significantly different now than I was when I was drinking.
Of course.
And even the first couple of years after drinking, I was furious
because
I had to deal with emotions.
You had to deal with like all those things that you were making go away.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They didn't go anywhere.
No. You got, at some point, you have to deal with yourself
because
can't run away from that.
Yeah.
And on that note, like it does seem, I mean, especially, I know I was joking, but I wasn't going to bring up anything in regards to the tour, but a through line that I've seen with most of the bands that exist on the tour that you're currently on, bands, whether it's like individuals or the collective approach of the band being like, hey, we're open about the struggles that we've had, or, you know, either collectively as a band like Parkway Drive or, you know, certain members or certain records about that. The and maybe this is me looking way too into this, but just the idea that, do you feel like the idea of mental health and all of that existing in Australia? I mean, I know globally more people are speaking about it now than they ever have been, but like, do you feel that it took you guys collectively, the Australian sort of punk and hardcore scene, to be like, do you think that was more repressed in Australia, or does that not have anything to do with it? I realize I'm trying to like blanket statement something.
No, it's a good question. It's, I would say Australia is much more like rural America.
Okay.
Even in the cosmopolitan parts.
Okay.
So probably yes. I mean, I lived with a guy who told me to shut the fuck up. Everyone gets sad. And I tried to kill myself like 3 weeks later. And he was like, ooh. And that was like my first experience with trying to explain to someone how I was feeling. And then I got diagnosed with depression, obviously, afterwards. I don't want to kind of claim any cultural significance for moving the needle on anything. I think it's become normal to post online about it.
Of course.
And I think it's become normal for people to make money off it from nonprofits. I don't think it's normalized. And it's such a unique problem that requires professional help.
Of course.
So when they do this thing in Australia called Are You Okay Day?
Okay.
And I fucking hate it. I hate it so much. And it's like, I remember our tour manager posted about it one day and I was like, why are you posting that? And he's like, oh, it's spreading awareness. And I was like, bro, that's just triggering for everyone that's fucked up. I was like, ask me how I'm going. And I'm like, I'm fucked. And he's like,
yeah, he's like,
Yeah, so I think it's become normal for all of us to speak about it to a certain extent.
Of course.
As much as you want to talk about it, there's always going to be people telling you that you're doing it for money, which I wish was true.
Yeah,
I wish that's...
You wish, there was the, all of a sudden the I checks wish, are starting to roll in, right?
Bro, I wish I was doing it for the fucking money, but unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, broadly speaking, I think the music has helped.
Mm-hmm.
Population growth, meaning that there's a growth in people experiencing the music. We've been around for 20 years.
Right.
I've seen hardcore was gone.
Yep.
And then I saw it come when like the SoCal punk was happening.
Of course.
Hardcore kind of fell off.
Yep.
It came back after that. I watched it go away again. I watched it come back again like 10 years ago.
Yep.
I watched it go again. And now I'm watching it come back again, which is amazing.
Of course.
You know? And I think it's cool. Like, Turnstile going from a hardcore band to a pop band.
Yep.
Has really opened the door for a lot of other bands.
It's made, to your point too, it's made people reconsider what any of us could have ever anticipated happening.
Like, exactly. And I mean, that shit started as a fucking side project. Like,
totally.
It's just like Angel Dust and...
Right, exactly.
You know, you've got
Chopped
like...
and Rice, right.
Yeah, you've got like this one fucking band that just sprung out.
Right.
Blew everyone away.
Of course.
Fucked off. And did bigger things.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is. Where it's just like, what? The idea of combining 311 and Snapcase into this, like, no one could have done that.
Yeah.
But on that, because I was going to ask you, the 20 years of the band existing, like, that's weird. Like, no band should last. I mean, especially in punk and hardcore.
It is weird. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, you've been able to.
It's getting weirder.
I can imagine too, where it's like, what keeps you rooted in the fact that obviously, like, I mean, yes, the pure enjoyment of playing in a band and touring and all that aspect, but like, what keeps you rooted in wanting to do this?
It's, I mean, I don't go to therapy.
Okay.
So this is that, you know?
A different version of it, right?
Yeah, it's
right.
Like, it's all I know as well.
Okay.
It's an intrinsic part of who I am.
Sure.
I don't know what I would do without it.
Okay.
I thought I was over it, and then we had COVID.
Yep.
And I realized I was definitely not over it.
That was a very stark realization.
It was, yeah. It was brutal, and it was very bad.
Yeah.
It was hard to get through, and I wasn't locked down either.
Yeah.
I think we had, where I live, 21 days.
Okay.
In 2 years. And it was like a funny lockdown because I live at the beach.
Got it.
And they were like, well, you can exercise. And so everyone's surfing and like on the beach.
Right. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is different than many other places.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't experience that part of it, but
right.
I had 3 kids. My income dropped by 60%.
Yep.
My rent went up by 35%. So I had different stressors,
of course,
than other people, you know. But it also gave me a realization of what I have, and that I like it a lot. I love it. And
right.
I spoke to my tattooist friend, actually, and he kind of summed it up best. He just said he didn't feel like he had a purpose because he couldn't tattoo anyone.
Sure.
And I was like, fuck, that's how I feel.
Right.
Like I went back to college and actually started in law school because I've always been interested.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, man, like this shit's soulless. Like it's so bad, you know.
Sure, sure.
And I'm still interested. I've had to quit because we're touring again.
But, of course.
I'll probably go back just for fun.
right, yeah, just
strange thing to find fun, but for fun, like,
of course, on the side. Yeah,
I love learning,
right?
And, I guess I just realized, you know, like I could have done this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if I'd be happy. I'm not sure.
Please immediately go to rockabilly.com because they have a full line of rad Halloween stuff from bands like Black Sabbath, Ghost. We're talking I Prevail. They have so much neat stuff that I want you to go to Rockabilia just like immediately, because, you know, by the time that Halloween passes, like it's right around the corner. So go ahead and do that. But use this promo code 100 words or less. It gets you 10% off your entire order. I love what they do. They ship officially licensed lurch. How about merch, right? Officially licensed merch from all over their spectrum of sounds. Because, I mean, they don't just work in, like, punk or hardcore or anything. They run the gamut. They got a lot of cool stuff. And it ships from the Midwest here in the United States of America. And it gets to you very quickly. So, please, rockabilly.com. Check out their limited edition Halloween stuff they have on pre-order. They have a freaking Cold Chamber. I mean, come on, dude. Talk about rad cuts. I mean, I never liked Cold Chamber, but that's beside the point. You know, there's a lot of people that do. So, anyways, rockabilly.com, 100 words or less is the promo code, 10% off of your entire order. Now go enjoy rockabilly.com.
Sipping outside of that statement where it's just like, oh, your purpose, like it sounds so cheesy or whatever, but like a cliche,
true.
But no, but if you do experience something where it's just like the actual act, like of creation, playing in a band, doing all the things that you do, but ultimately the core component of it is your purpose. You're like, that's what, even if people probably, I mean, most likely if people were not paying attention to anything you were doing musically, like, yes, you would be a lawyer or whatever, but there's still that component of the fact that you want to create. And that was will get you motivated.
I think a lot of creative people have this same problem though.
Sure.
Especially in the hardcore, man. Like, I just can think of people that have gone on to be lawyers, psychologists, like graphic designers in large marketing firms,
absolutely,
marketing executives themselves, like people in the film and television, people filming in Hollywood that are like, you know, working on sets of blockbusters and then going to watch fucking Speed.
totally
in LA. You know exactly. What I mean? Like,
yep.
I don't know. I think hardcore is like a pretty special. It's a special kind of scene because it is at the beginning for every band, no matter who you are. It's DIY.
Of course.
You're handing out flyers, you're making your own flyers, you're making your own merch, you're fucking
totally
doing all this shit, you know, and then all that work translates well into every other part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty, I think it's pretty unique, you know?
It is. No, yeah. I agree. And I think, like, I mean, of course, we are going to think that because we've been involved in it, but it is true where it's like you, the idea of applying the things to like a resume or whatever, where you're like, you know, when you're booking a tour or putting a demo, you're like, you're not, you know, 16, 17 year old. You're not like, oh my gosh, I'm developing these real business insights. Like, no, you're just like, okay, I paid $200 for it. We're going to make 250. I didn't lose that $50. Like, you know, I made $50. Like, all right, great. You just did a P&L.
Yeah.
People are like, what does that even mean? But it's like, that's, but you can.
And like logistics.
Totally.
I mean, all the shit that fucking children are doing,
right?
And they're like, you didn't go to college, and it's like, so what?
Like, you're like, have you ever driven from Minneapolis to Omaha and figured this out?
people are always like, we did 13 tours of the U.S. in a van, and people don't hear about you, right, until you gain some sort of level of success.
Of course.
And then they're like, oh, they fucking came out of nowhere. And it's like, mm-mm.
You're like, do you realize how many times we played Chain Reaction?
13.
Right.
Oh, bro. You're like, I love that venue.
Of course. It's a great venue. Like, but you're just like, when you come.
I like Andy Serrao. Great, great guy.
Unbelievable human.
But fuck, man.
Totally. And you're like, this is the. You're like, I shouldn't see Anaheim 3 times in a year.
No. No. No one needs to see Anaheim.
No. Unless you're going to Disneyland on vacation or something like that. But yes. But even that, the you've been, like we were talking about kind of before, you've been, you know, very open about what you experienced in your life from, you know, homelessness, abuse, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to guess that obviously your connection to music was something that was pulling you through, or like the sense of community around, like you going to shows, even if you like literally did not have a home to go to.
Yeah, I still went. I still went to shows.
Right.
Yeah.
So like that is, I mean, maybe that's another obviously reason you feel.
I just didn't tell anyone though.
Sure.
I just went.
Well, I
went to the show. Everyone always wondered why I had a backpack.
Yeah, true.
And then I'd go and like sleep in a park or whatever. It's
right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a sense of feeling like you want to, and I know this sounds very like whatever, H2O positive hardcore whatever, but just like giving back to something that gave you just a place to be, and obviously friends and a community.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I give to, I mean, one of the byproducts of having bipolar can be rash spending.
Okay.
And I was just talking to my manager the other day. You're just talking about giving back.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, I was really fucking depressed for 2 weeks, and I like donated $2,500 to like
sure
just different things,
different organizations, right?
And I was like, fuck. I didn't have that money.
Joel,
I didn't have it. Like,
right.
I mean, it was in the bank, but it was
spent.
It
yeah,
was spent.
It was allocated.
It was allocated to other things.
Right.
And I was like, ah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
sure
need some help here. And he's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You're like, Joel, like, can you be an adult here?
Yeah.
You're like, I am. I'm giving.
Yeah,
I'm literally giving back.
Yeah.
These people don't have things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do my best. I'm pretty charitable.
Sure.
I don't really talk about it much. Like.
Yeah.
Ever, actually. Like, this is maybe the first or second time, but.
Okay.
That's sort of my way of giving back, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, and not judging people.
No.
Like, I played chess in Detroit the other day with just some dude on the street, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, you probably lost.
No, I won.
Oh, congratulations. No, I was going to say.
I didn't feel really good about it.
I mean, anytime I've done that, like, I mean, granted, if I've done that in, like, New York City, I know what I'm getting into and I'm going to get demolished.
You're going to get fucking annihilated. Yeah,
yeah. You're right.
This guy was fucking good, man. But
that's good.
I'm not very good, but he was good.
Right.
Kind of lucked out.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you lost.
Yeah, he got overly patient. And I was, like, overly fucking enthusiastic at the beginning.
Right.
But anyway, I feel like, you know, not judging anyone on the street, especially... I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where I just judge people less in general. I think that's an age thing.
It is. You have perspective, right?
Yeah, I think when you're younger and people say it, you're like, whatever, like, look at that asshole.
Yeah, of course. Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas totally. Now I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't impact me.
It doesn't bother me.
Right, exactly. No. Do you feel like, I mean, speaking of age and perspective, do you feel like, you know, because Amity has obviously played with so many different styles of bands, and like you were talking about, you know, you self-identify as a hardcore kid and then obviously play stylistically something that's
not
attached to it, but different. Yeah. So like, do you try to find yourself like connecting to new bands in regards to like checking out new music and stuff like that? Or do you find that you are just... You're like, I like what I like, and I know that, and I'm not going to...
Oh, no. I'm not like that.
Okay.
I listen to everything...
Sure.
...on merit.
Got it.
So, if it's... I've got, like, a hangover from the 2010s, right?
Where that's fair.
All these really cool bands came out, and I didn't listen to them, because I was like...
Yeah,
fuck
you're like,
that.
If everyone else
like,
likes them.
They're too fucking cool. Like, fuck that.
Right.
Like Nails, right?
Right.
I just started listening to Nails.
Like, you're like, they're pretty
this
good.
This year, I was like, I text Aaron, our singer, and I was like, bro, this. I'm like, they're fucking wild. And he goes, yeah. Like, I know.
Right.
And I was like, damn.
Yeah, where have you been, right?
Yeah. I fucking blew that.
Yeah.
But I mostly listen to rap, to be honest.
Yeah.
And rap is the one place where I'm basically stuck in the 90s.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I can't do much about it.
You're rinsing Gangstar and Nas and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to like all the new like cocaine rap, which is just like boom bap with a harder name.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah.
different delineation.
Yeah, yes. Different delineation, yeah.
Right. Well, that's cool. Well, I think that it's, especially too, where it's like... so many, you know, peers and friends of ours, whether it's like, you know, looking at the guys in Silverstein, where it's just like they are like their own personal tastes are so at odds with the music that they create.
Oh yeah, same. I don't listen to anything like Amity.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Not interested.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but it's cool that you can obviously be in the space where you can create that.
Yeah. We like what we write.
Right.
But then outside of that, I'm not attached to this particular style of music.
Sure.
Which can become comical when people are being critical of our band.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, you're like, that's fine. Yeah. You're like, I don't even like my band. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, wow.
I'm just joking.
Depends on the day.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like, yeah, Friday, we're cool. Saturday, I totally get why you hate us. It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm having like a crisis of self,
yeah,
and I hear one of our songs, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Like, what are we even doing? You know?
And no, then we'll have a good show and I'll be like, we're the best fucking band in the world.
Yeah, you're like, why?
Actually, I never think that, but I feel
you
pretty,
don't seem the
I
sort
feel,
of guy that would, no, that would
I've
ever
never,
say that.
I've never felt that way about anything that I've ever done. Ever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very, very.
I'm sure it's a nice feeling.
I mean, joy can take many different forms.
Yeah, I don't know if my son gives me joy.
Right.
My other kids, my stepkids.
Right.
I think that's it.
That's okay. As long as you're able to experience it in some capacity.
Yeah.
And that's good.
I have a low baseline, so everything's kind of
Right.
Low.
You're at a you're at a hum. You don't necessarily need any
I'm at a hum. Right. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Obviously, you don't need, like, in no way, shape, or form would you ever need to write a memoir, but that could easily...
No, I'm not writing
No, memoir. No, I know. No. I was... But that could be the name of a solo project, a record, like something... Your stand-up album, obviously.
The only stand-up I would be able to do would be, like, really nasty kind of stand-up.
You'd be like Andrew Dice Clay.
I don't know who that is. This is another thing. Like, I don't know any... I don't remember things.
Fine.
There was someone recently I read who also has bipolar that said they're not a fan of anything.
Okay.
And that's sort of how I feel.
Sure.
Like, I like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no one that I'm a fan of.
Right. Yeah, you're like, I don't...
Like, I don't know what that is to be that.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I don't put that label on myself. Like, I enjoy what you do, but I'm not a fan? What does that even mean?
Yeah, like, I don't even know what half the people in bands I like look like or... I don't know their names.
Right.
Like it's never been something that I've cared about. The only times it's different is when the band has put forth a member prominently on purpose.
Yep.
Or you have bands like Shai Hulud, where the band was actually just Matt Fox with others.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everybody's a rotating cast of characters.
Yes.
If you have not been asked to sing for Shai Hulud, you really haven't played in the hardcore scene.
Well, I feel pretty offended. I'm offended. I've never been asked.
Okay, well, I personally have been asked, and I sang on half a song, and I was like, Matt, this is too hard. There are too many words.
There's so many words.
It is, anyways.
I did a paper in at uni.
I already like where this is going.
At university, the first time around.
Yep.
On the Elizabethan nature of Shai Hulud lyrics and how I basically dissected that within Blood Ill-Tempered.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's spectacular. Yeah. Anytime you can pull in something that is obviously what we would define as intelligent within punk or hardcore and then apply an academic lens to it, you're just like... am I the smartest individual ever to make these two things? Like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. Like, what am I even doing here?
Yeah, yeah. I managed to, like, bring in some, like, J.D. Salinger shit as well. I was feeling pretty good about it. I got a great mark, too.
I would argue that there's probably joy contained in there somewhere with that particular project. Or maybe pride. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, a little bit of pride.
Yeah, a little bit of pride.
Didn't
last. It was
the alcohol.
Gone in a flash.
Well, I quit uni that year. But I didn't tell them, right? And then the next year I was like, I should go back. So I went back and then I quit again, but without telling them.
Oh, that's good.
And they were like, you can't come back.
They're like,
you don't go here. And I'm like, no, I don't.
No, you're right.
And they're like, well, don't come back.
They're like, you're literally not welcome nor invited. Like, you're good. We've tapped out on you.
We're good without you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. Our friends at Evil Greed are back because they are supporters of independent music and they offer web store solutions for bands of all shapes and sizes. But you as the consumer can benefit greatly by going to evilgreed.net and checking out what they have to offer. And what they have to offer, I mean, let's just anything that you can probably shake a stick at in regards to heavy artistic stuff, which I'm going to give you a little sampling of some of the bands they work with, whether it's like Tsunami, Chelsea Wolf, Triple B Records, Sargent House. They have so much great stuff and they operate out of Berlin, Germany, but do not be scared because they ship to you here in the United States of America very easily and quickly. And here, this is the key thing. Use this promo code 100words. It gets you 10% off of your entire order. And you will be able to just reap in all of the awesomeness that is evilgreed.net. And I've ordered from them before. I mean, it's gotten to me in like a week. And I love what they do. So please support evilgreed.net. Use the promo code 100words. And it gets you credit, 10% off. And it gets the podcast a nod that marketing does indeed work. So anyways, this is a mutually beneficial relationship. I love Evil Greed. So check them out and use the promo code 100 words or less. Now, on with the episode.
The last thing I want to hit on was the idea of, I mean, you enjoy, obviously, like you said, all of, you know, the aspects of playing in a band. And I'm sure touring is something that means something different now than it did, you know, whatever, 10 years ago. I mean, obviously, you have, like you said, kids. Like, there are things that you would probably, you know, like to be present rather than, you know, no shots against the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival. But like, oh, maybe, like, you know, it'd be nice to be home for these elements of, you know, participating in life back at home. How do you, because you've obviously done it for a long period of time, how have you tried to balance those two?
I don't have really balance in my personality.
Sure. I guess maybe that's a bad choice of words, but yes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, like this morning, for instance, I walked around for 3.5 hours.
Okay.
Just walking.
That's okay.
Taking photos.
Yeah.
And I guess when I'm doing that, I'm not really thinking about much. If we're in, like tomorrow, we're in Scranton.
Yep.
It's going to be rough.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, my son's like my best friend, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yep.
And then my wife also. I've known her since 1995, so
That's a long time.
Yep. Yeah, like most of my life. But also, she's the same. We both like our space and our freedom. Like, she just went on her first holiday recently without Bowie, without our son.
Right.
And she fucking loved it.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, you're good. Like, when I'm home, go.
Yeah.
So I like being away. If I could have Bowie with me all the time, I would.
Right.
But unfortunately, we're not Slipknot, so we only have the one bus.
Right. Yeah. Like, we can't bring our entourage. Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I like... There are days where I don't like being here.
Mm-hmm.
There are days where I don't feel like being here in a larger scale.
Yep.
And then there are days where I'm like really happy that I am doing it.
Right.
And then there are days in between. There's like a lot of gray area there. It's
the complication of life in general.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, and the show sometimes changes how I felt about the day as well.
Right.
I can have a great day and a bad show, and the great part of the day is fucking out the window.
It's just like, what did I even do?
Yeah, right. I guess it's just like any other job, you know, at the end of the day. Like, it's, and also like something that may be different for me, and I definitely know, like Parkway as well, is this happened by accident.
Of course.
Like, I didn't want to do this.
No, there's no grand plan you had. Yeah.
No, like, we started touring because we learned that you get free alcohol.
We're
like, that's crazy. Let's go.
Yeah, why would people give this to?
Yeah. And I mean, then we started, I mean, we sold out a venue in 2008, and we were like, what the fuck? And, you know, it was like 800 people or whatever. And we were like, that's crazy.
Right.
Maybe we should try a bit harder, which we didn't, but
sure,
we thought about it.
Right.
But yeah, I never wanted to be in a band. Never thought about it. I dated a girl and her friends were in a band and they were like, come do this. And it was like a thrashy kind of hardcore punk kind of band. And
Then
eventually I was asking them to get heavier and heavier and heavier, and they were like, nah. And so we broke up, and I joined another band that broke up, and then I got asked to join Amity, and that was it.
Right.
So I'm here by accident.
Totally. Right.
And I think that makes a difference. You know, I've seen, because we've been here so long, I've seen so many bands come, get big, and disappear.
Yep.
And both here and in Australia.
Of course.
And like, that's where sometimes it gets funny, because people will be like, oh, you're just jealous they're bigger than you. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I don't care. Like,
right.
Like, I actually think it's cool. Like, if people come into the scene and they can make a living off it, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
Whether I like them or not.
Right.
Because you can't like everyone.
No.
For starters. But you can appreciate the work everyone's putting in, because there's very, very in music, there's very minimal people these days who come in to a well-oiled machine and go from nothing to something.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So,
right. I mean, there's more of a roadmap, but it's still...
Yeah, I mean...
It's not... It doesn't make it any easier just
no.
because you've seen other people do it before.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And I don't think it... You know, everyone starts off playing to fucking three people.
Of course.
Four people, five people, whatever.
Totally.
It's just how it is.
Right. Very rare instances does it work the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. You're just... As all of us do, take it one day at a time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Well, I genuinely appreciate you hanging out. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you for having me.
There we go. What a beautiful chat. And like I said, Joel, I fell in love with him. And I definitely have started messaging him on Instagram just to be like, dude, like, you're cool and stuff. And I feel like such an idiot. As an adult being like, hey, do you want to be my adult friend? But like, you know, whatever. I got no shame in that game. So anyways, thank you very much to the team over at the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival for having me out. And please check them out on their socials. Please check them out on when they announce their festival next year. I highly encourage you to go to it. It was a great time. And I know that you probably will enjoy it as well. So next week on the pod, I have Ezra Morris, who is the vocalist for a very, very underrated, in my opinion, and many people's opinions, hardcore band called The Power and the Glory. They were also previously called Downpour. He is a fixture within the Atlanta hardcore scene. I met Ezra many moons ago, and we got on like just immediately. Like we just on the same level, really knew where each other was coming from. And I've remained friends with him for over 20 years, because I think that's when we started to play shows in like the early 2000s together. But yeah, Ezra was a great chat. And I mean, he's lived a life in media. He's worked at Vice Magazine and so many other interesting things. So anyways, that's what I got. Next week, Ezra Morris from Downpour, The Power and the Glory. You can kind of use those names interchangeably, but you know, when they broke up, they were called The Power and the Glory. So anyways, that's what we got next week. Until then, please be safe, everybody. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.